Good morning, 7:38 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. It is a beautiful day here, and but oh my goodness, our neighbors to the west, it is likely to be pretty bad for them as this Category 3-ish plus maybe hurricane making landfall later tonight. We're going to get like, you know, a puff of wind basically, and not likely to get much rain either, it looks like. At least that's what Alan Strum was saying last night, which again is good for us, but this could have been us and it would have been a whole different story if we were looking down the barrel of this thing coming this evening here, which it is not, thank goodness. 7:39 News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Mayor Grover Robinson joins us every week at this time and he's on the line with us. Mayor, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Andrew, thank you. I was going to say you had the right song playing outside water and it's beautiful. It's cool with a nice little breeze. And I realize all the things. I got a good friend of mine that was a police juror, which is like a commissioner in Calcasieu Parish. So my heart certainly goes out to them and what they're dealing with. But I will say we did get the worst of Marco. We ended up taking the, strangely enough, we didn't have the landing of Marco, but I think we definitely got the worst weather from Marco.
Yeah, we got, I saw this, that we had 2.44 inches and it was a record. How is 2.4 inches a record rainfall in August in Pensacola? That in and of itself is a weird story.
Well, it must have been a day we'd never had a hurricane.
I guess.
Because it was just a record for that day.
Right,
that,
exactly, yeah. I mean, I'm thinking of, like, when I first saw the headline, I'm like, we did not have 24 inches of rain? What are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, by the day. Okay, all right, fair enough. Hey, did you have your conversation with the hospital executives this week on Monday?
I did indeed. I met with them on Monday. We had a very good conversation. The general consensus from everyone was, again, we are trending down and we are seeing results come out of really our ability to do three things, which they've continued to say are the things we need to do, which is wash your hands, social distance, but and most importantly as well, wear a mask. And I think the mask ordinance, you know, they certainly feel it is continuing to drive numbers down. From our standpoint, we still, though, right now in the 130s, 140s, we are too high to begin to think about not putting that, rescinding the mask ordinance. So we still got some work to do, but we are about 100 hospitalizations down from where our high point was. We've seen our numbers go down, both in contaminations, positivity, but we're kind of bouncing around. So it's like from one week to the next, we see things happening, and that's going to cause, you know, hospitalizations probably to bounce. It's just one of those things. The contamination is the first thing you see, the numbers, and then eventually it leads to hospitalizations, and then it leads to mortality. So that's kind of the way it goes and lags. So, you know, but we're continuing to follow the hospitalizations very well, and we're continuing to follow our own employee health. We're back in the green on everything. Tommy, I got a text from him yesterday saying, you know, his staff is back to properly manned, and everybody's back that he had. It's just the worst part is you get somebody who gets contaminated, and then you have a bunch of other people that you've got to put on the sidelines because you don't know if they're contaminated.
Right.
So it does create personnel problems for us and probably most businesses out there as well.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And this is what I've said all along is the one person who tests positive is a problem, but it's all the other people you got to temporarily send home because you can't have them around in case they might also have contracted it. And that's the real personnel challenge is that one person is 20 people, never just that one person. Did the hospitals happen to say...
It's their whole team.
Yeah, right, exactly. Did the hospitals happen to say whether they have moved back out of the yellow into the green, or are they still in yellow?
No, they believe there's some consternation as to what constitutes that line.
Okay.
It's probably somewhere between 50 and 75. You know, my
current hospitalizations, is that what you mean?
25, I'm sorry?
Your line, when you say 50 to 75, you're saying current hospitalizations would be their line?
Yeah, yes.
And we're at like 140-ish right now, okay.
Exactly. My feeling was, hey, 75 would seem like a good number, 25 for one. I think the hospitals themselves are more like, hey, we'd rather see it down by 50. So, you know, we're having those discussions. We are discussing that, but, I mean, we're still trying to – we're still even from 75. We're 70 people away.
Right.
So we got to get the numbers down a little bit more. And so we have been discussing that with them. We continue to do that and try to figure out what is the right thing. But you know, they're telling us, listen, I mean, we're seeing numbers come down. We've got school coming out. We've got a number of other openings. You're going to eventually start opening more stuff. We want to open our. We'd love to try to get a fall soccer season in October. We'd love to do some of these other things. We think that if we can get to a point, we can show that if people wear masks, we are able to do with the mask. We can have openings without a real spike. We feel like we can start doing more soon. We got to get the confidence that we're not going to have spikes and we're not going to have major contamination. And again, you and I were talking about off the air. Everybody's like, hey, it's like, you know, what does the mask do? It's like one piece will get you sick. Well, it's not like one little molecule gets you sick. There is kind of an ability to see load on this. You see conditions coming through these muscles, and for a long time, they're not sick. But eventually, being exposed in a long amount of time with load, they eventually get sick. The same thing happens with individuals. And I think one of the things that the masks are very good at, whether it's even you yourself or certainly if you're carrying it, it is very good at keeping load down that goes to somebody else and keeps that contamination from happening. So
yeah, this is something that we've heard. We've heard a lot, and I think a lot of people
is helping us see the numbers. We're actually seeing it right now in what we can do. And again, we can be open. We can do things. But we just got to do it smart.
Yeah, I think this is a part of the story that with the mask that people a lot of times don't understand is that one of the great advantages in the last, I don't know, month or so, I think I've heard the experts really talk a lot about this, is the mask may not prevent all of the transmission of the particle, but it reduces it significantly, and that's lowered load is what prevents people from getting extra sick. So if you get a lighter version of the infection, then you're less likely to have those catastrophic outcomes, and all of these are factors in sort of mitigating the worst forms of things. Mr. Mayor, I had a listener want me to ask you, and I'm actually not sure what your answer is, so I'm curious. What is your threshold for lifting the mask mandate? What would we have to hit numerically to lift it?
Again, my thought was more 75 in terms of hospitalizations. 75. The hospitals have been more like 50.
Okay.
You know, we're kind of having those discussions, and we're trying to figure out what's the right number.
Got it.
As we move through, but you know, those are exactly the things. I don't think we've set that yet, but we still have a long way to go down. So we're still having those discussions. Those are some of the things we did talk about. Obviously, none of us want to rebound. The biggest problem is this, is even if we were to lift it, we'd probably see 3 weeks or so of declining numbers simply because it takes the average time between contamination and going to the hospital is about 2 to 3 weeks, about 2.5 weeks.
Right.
So you're going to see, you know, and it's going to give the effect of, oh, well, we're fine. Well, you know, the problem is when you ramp back up, it's going to take 2 or 3 weeks
after you
start it before you see the impact because you know you're behind. You're always behind with this virus. So,
it's maddening. The lags are maddening.
The hospitals have argued what they've argued.
Absolutely. I agree with you about that. Yesterday, Mr. Mayor, I was driving on Langley west of 9th Avenue headed towards the schools. I was actually going to the library there, the Tryon Branch is where we do our library. And I noticed that there were three fairly bad sections of sidewalk that were broken, caved in, and marked out with, you know, like construction tape and cones. First, is that the city or is that the county? I can never keep these lines straight in my head.
Tryon Branch is in the city, but you're right. There's a section between the school and 9th Avenue that is county.
That is crazy.
The Bermuda Triangle is in the county, but every road that comes into it, all six roads coming into it, come from the city. So it is a crazy intersection. We are working, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of when we talk about things like expanding and annexing and solving some of these problems that might be good. But the problem is it takes people who live there to vote for that. So
do those folks want to be part of the city? Because it seems like there's several pockets like that where these are obvious areas that should be annexed. What's the hang up?
Those were things that happened back in the 40s and 50s and 60s, and when they didn't get annexed, you know. Now, you know, in the county, when I was at the county, we did a lot of sidewalk projects in that area. And obviously, if you say the cone's already out there, they're going to do it. So, for an extent, they're getting municipal services without having to pay the municipal prices in a lot of ways. So, that's what creates this challenge that we end up in, where we probably should have annexed areas, but we don't. You know, again, I think it's one of those things. I mean, I certainly tried to do that. I know it looks like Ben Roberts trying to continue some of those initiatives, but it is difficult to get annexation when people feel like they're getting a good level of service from the county. And so those are the things that end up. But I agree. There are several parts of the county that I thought it was really difficult for the county to deliver municipal services. I think there's a lot of demand from county residents and county produces municipal services. Really, those should be annexed. I mean, I remember campaigning one time out by UWF in Woodbridge. There's a new professor that had moved in there, and we were talking, and I was knocking on doors. He said, "Well, why are you here as a county rep? I mean, I'm in the city." I said, "Sir, the city is about 2 miles to the south of here. You're a long way from the city." So, you know, I think people just don't realize, you know, where the city is and where the county is.
Right. And even in that circumstance, obviously, as the D4 commissioner, you would have still represented him even in the city, and people don't understand that a lot either. Both are confusing the folks. Mayor Robinson, always a pleasure to have you on the show. We'll look forward to your Facebook Live today and then the press conference on Monday, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Thanks, Andrew. You take care.